Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Djinn Nation. What is up? What is happening? We are back again. We are on to the Super Bowl. The last time we spoke, I think the last thing I said before I signed off was Chiefs by a million. That did not come to fruition.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but...
Well, look at the shirt he's wearing. It's a bold...
I still represent.
It's yeah, you're not a Fairweather fan.
Yeah.
But I told you, put some respect on my boy Joe Burrow's name. And I know it wasn't, you know, they didn't just win because of Joe Burrow. But Joe Burrow shows up in big games. And honestly, they won that game because of the defense. The moment Tyreek got tackled on the one-yard line leading into halftime, and then the Chiefs didn't score a single point in the second half, that win was all on the defense, 100%.
It was so tilting to have Patty, like, all my props that week just absolutely blew up in my face, but it was super tilting to have Patty Mahomes over 290 and a half, and he had, what, 200 at halftime?
I was like, okay. 289 at halftime.
Yeah.
You're like, easy lock.
Sick.
I have never seen such a Jekyll and Hyde performance.
That was ridiculous.
The first half where the Chiefs just absolutely steamrolled.
Made it look so easy going down the field. It was like, I was like, oh my God, like Kev was so right about this. Like, these teams look like they don't even belong in the same field. And then sure enough, Burrow just continuously leads them down the field and puts up points over and over and over again. Defense keeps stopping them.
The Chiefs just wouldn't run the damn ball. Like, their drives were getting shut down so quickly, they couldn't really do a whole lot. And so they had multiple opportunities. I mean, the Chiefs picked them off in the second half. There was almost another interception, but they had the ball, you know, the fourth quarter. They finally were able to get the offense going. They marched down the field. And then, of course, Andy Reid, let's get conservative when we're at the five-yard line. And they do all that. But then they had opportunity to score there. And then they get the ball to start the second half, or start overtime. Once again, you know?
That game's over. If they score going into halftime, that game's over.
Yeah, even if they just kick the field goal.
Yeah.
It's not even on the defense. It's not even on the Chiefs' defense. So, you know, it is what it is. Can't win them all. Can't go to every Super Bowl. It's fine. We're going to reload. Chiefs will be back. But we're on to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow. Matt Stafford. Hey, at least it's different teams. I know everybody hates the Chiefs now. Everybody was thrilled the Chiefs didn't make it. But we're on to the Super Bowl. So let's start things off. We're gonna talk a little bit of the showdown. We're not gonna spend a ton of time on it. We are gonna talk about some strategy with showdown because some people aren't maybe familiar with it. Since it is a Super Bowl, you're gonna get a lot of casual people that aren't you know, big showdown time players. You're gonna have some huge tournaments out there. I mean, there are some massive tournaments out there. I would advise trying to find some, you know, there is some really good single entry stuff out there. Jump in those. You're not going to get, you know, run over by people in those. I think also, you know, maybe waiting it out for some of those large contests to fill. DraftKings will generally release some other smaller field stuff that I would typically wait on when it comes to showdown. Because I'm telling you, you're going to jump in that 400,000 person field. And even if you win, you're going to chop it up. Yeah, you should probably still win a little bit of change. But, man, I would be tilting my face off if I had the winning lineup and I played it and I had to chop it up with 60 other people, because that's what's going to happen. So, that being said, Let's talk about a little bit of strategy here with Showdown. I say for me, I've had some success. Actually, you know, I took down a Showdown slate earlier in the year with Showdown. I absolutely love Showdown. But Maddie, what is your preferred approach when it comes to Showdown?
To be honest, I try to not dive in too much to what I think is going to happen, and I let the field kind of dictate that, and then I just kind of go, you know, a high leverage, high upside spot off of what the field's going to do using ownership. So, you know, a good instance maybe in this game, I haven't looked at ownerships yet, but let's say just based on pricing, let's just say, you know, Cooper Kupp and T. Higgins will be a very popular pairing because maybe people can't get, you know, Kupp, both quarterbacks, and Ja'Marr Chase in there. So if that's going to be the case, like if Ja'Marr Chase is going to come in lower owned than he should, then that's a guy that I'm going to look to captain because, you know, we know his blow-up games are, you know, slate-breaking blow-up games, even on main slates, let alone a one-game Showdown. So those are just kind of the things that I look to attack. It's not really like I'm going to sit here and project Ja'Marr Chase to, you know, break the slate. It's like, okay, well, the field thinks that, you know, they're giving him 20% ownership or whatever it's going to come in at. But, you know, I think he's got, you know, 30 to 40% chance to kind of break the slate here. So let me just take shots on him at the captain spot because when he hits big. So just little things like that is how I approach Showdown. I kind of let the field dictate where they're going to go. And then I just try to pivot off of them with high leverage correlations that make sense.
So in terms of my builds and how I build these lineups, for me, I try to do a lot of instead of, because what you'll find is, for generally speaking, most people will try to do like a 3v3 versus, you know, with the two teams. And that is, it sometimes works, but most of the time, that's not the optimal approach. More often than not, I will go with whatever side is going to be less chalky, and I will stack that side, and then I will captain. For example, right now, the Rams are looking like, you know, they are the betting favorite right now. Their 4-point favorite's actually been bet up from a 3.5, opened at 3.5. It's up to a 4 right now, and so the Rams are the favorite here. But if, you know, if ownership dictates that, you know, that everybody's on the Rams and everybody's fading the Bengals, I will go in and I will take, you know, maybe Odell at captain or even a Cooper Kupp if you can make it work. But I feel like that's going to be a chalky build, but go with like an Odell and then just build all Bengals from there. Go Burrow, go Chase, go Higgins or Boyd. Some other things you can do that I found that works really well is that a lot of people don't do to get a little bit different is actually stack the both running backs. So go with Cam Akers and Sony Michel and capture all that. That is one approach that has really worked out for me this year so often, because a lot of people won't do that. A lot of people think that, you know, there's not a negative correlation there with doing that. And in Showdown, it works out, because this slate is going to be tough, because if you go down to like the bottom tier where, you know, on a lot of teams, you may have a guy there that you can attack. Well, this slate, neither one of these teams, they're pretty heavily concentrated in terms of where the ball goes for a lot of times. I mean, really, as far as you can get down to is Samaje Perine at 3,600, or excuse me, that's that captain, but at 2,400. But once you get past that, I mean, there really is nobody there, right? You have Ben Skowronek, you know, who had a target last week. I mean, he could have been a touchdown. He's 600, but there's nobody on the Bengals side that I think that you could even remotely feel any sort of confidence with, unless an injury were to happen, because they priced up Kendall Blanton. He's now 4,600 because of the injury to Tyler Higbee. So he's too expensive. Drew Sample was priced up to 4,200. I think there's going to be a lot of people that play kicker builds and put, you know, Evan McPherson or Matt Gay and their lineup as well. But for me, I find it much more because the slate that I took down was the Thursday night was the Titans and 49ers game, and I had AJ Brown in the captain, and I went with a full onslaught of 49ers, and that's how I took it down. Everybody was on. I mean, I had Brandon Ayuk in that lineup. He was very low owned, so that's really just going to be the key here.
I mean, you could do that with Kupp.
Yes, I think that is a viable strategy. Yes, going Cup and then going
Cup captain with no Stafford, definitely unique.
Yeah,
and that's Cup gets there on pure receptions, pure volume. Maybe catches one touchdown, the only touchdown maybe that Stafford throws, and you know maybe like you said, maybe Michelle runs one in, or Daryl Henderson's coming back. It sounds like so maybe he runs one in because Cam Akers is playing. You know he's fighting through a shoulder injury. Just got his first practice in over the last 2 weeks. So definitely, you know, the Rams, I mean, they like to throw the ball a lot, especially in near the goal line. But, I mean, when they do that, it tends to go to Kupp or OBJ or Higbee, but Higbee may not even play. So, yeah, I definitely think a Kupp with a full Bengals onslaught run back makes a ton of sense. It's very similar to that A.J. Brown build you had that took down a few weeks ago.
How important do you guys think it is to, or is it important at all to nail that captain spot for, you know, Kev, like you said, there's going to be a bunch of people jumping in who have never really played before. Obviously, the showdown slate's being a little different. Is it like, do you have to hit the right captain, or can you get away with winning one of these without doing that?
It really depends on a couple of things. The main difference would be, you know, how far off is the other guy? You know, if somebody just goes absolutely nuclear, then yeah, you're going to have that guy in there to even have a shot. But if somebody like Cooper Kupp, who's 17-4, he's so expensive. Once you play Cooper Kupp in your lineup, you have a very similar build to what everybody else is going to have. You're going to be very concentrated and it's going to be very similar. So you are going to have to get really different with that if you want even a shot of taking it down. But let's say, you know, for all the people that have Cooper Kupp in their lineup, and let's say he still has a good game, but let's say he gets you, you know, with the captain spot on DraftKings, let's say he gets you 40. But if there's another guy that, you know, like Odell or T. Higgins, for example, 11-4 as the captain, if he goes out and puts up, if he can get you, you know, 28, 30, or even a little bit less than that, you're likely, if you even have Kupp at, you know, in the lineup, but not a captain, you're going to probably shoot up ahead of them because of what it's allowed you to do with the extra salary you're going to have compared to the person who played Cooper Kupp. So there is instances where the top scoring guy isn't in the winning lineup of at captain. That is definitely possible. It just depends on how far the gap is between that guy and, you know, the next closest.
And how many lineups will you guys typically put in?
I don't know how Maddie does it for showdown, but I will max it or probably one of the 20 entry max. I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not normally, I would do that on a normal slate, but not with this big of a, normally it's like depending on the slate, it's like Sunday night and Thursday nights are usually like 75, 80,000. I don't mind that as much in a showdown when I'm putting in 20 lineups in showdown, because they're so heavily correlated. So it's not like there's a huge edge. It's not like a main slate. You know, type of lineup, so it's a little bit different. But I know Maddie's much more of a single entry, three entry max. I still will search out for single entry stuff for showdown because you can get an edge there as well.
Oh, I think the edge is bigger on showdown for single entry than it is on main slate. Because yes, if you have a single entry, you're going to play Cooper Kupp. So, like, obviously, I don't want people to get hurt, but let's say Cooper Kupp, you know, I mean, he got hurt two Super Bowls ago, didn't he? Like, let's say he gets hurt, you know, in the first quarter or something. Now, 90 to 95% of the rosters have a dead, you know, a dead spot on their team. Whereas if I don't play Kupp, I have an advantage over that. So it's like, again, you just kind of have to, you know, single entries, you kind of know where the field is going to go, especially on showdown. Like, everybody's going to play Cooper Kupp, you know, and I probably will end up playing him as well. But I'm just saying, like, that you can identify easily where, you know, where the chalk is going to form. It's usually, you know, the locked in stud guy in Cooper Kupp. You know, it's usually Kupp, Davante Adams, McCaffrey, those kinds of guys. And then usually the QBs as well. So it tends to leave those 7, 8, 9K guys a little overlooked. So I usually myself, I try to play one of the other studs that's a little bit lower than those, you know, tier A guys. Like, I can't tell you how many times I played George Kittle captain over the last, you know, 3 weeks that we've had showdowns. Like, I've just been waiting for, you know, the Kittle 40-point game to blow up it, and he's like at 7K on showdown, and it's like, you know, only 10K or whatever on in the captain slot. So that's just kind of the, you know, I look for high upside, low owned guys to put in my captain, and I just it's just more prevalent in single entries because people are afraid to kind of be different.
Yeah, and I one thing I will say is, unless it's a running quarterback, I have no interest in playing a quarterback in cash.
Agree.
It's just they just very, very rarely get there without that, you know, standalone ability to be able to run the ball. And neither one of these quarterbacks are really true rushing quarterbacks. I mean, Joe Burrow can run, but I mean, I think his rushing prop is, what is it, like 11 and a half? I mean, it's something very low. It's not very high.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a running quarterback. And so neither one of these guys are, so I will not. But you will see, you're going to get probably 10 to 15% or somewhere anywhere from 10 to 15% probably for Stafford in the captain spot. That's a huge mistake. To me, those are 10 to 15% of lineups that are dead. Not dead, but that I'm not worried about being able to win because it's just not going to happen. And so I much prefer that. Again, I think for this, if you could find some decent ownership projections, it's going to really help you out because you're really going to be able to see where the ownership's coming in. And you can make a decision from there. And so, I like I said, I love Showdown because I think it gives you the ability to kind of think of this one game, how you think it's going to go. Your lineup has to it's important to tell a story with your lineup and like a main slate entry, you know, a main slate lineup. But this is absolutely critical to your lineup to do that, to tell how you think this game's going to go. You know, if you think it's going to be a defensive battle, then play the defenses. If you don't, you know, stay away from them. I typically fade defenses. Because that can just go wrong so many different ways, and there's so many much variance there with defenses. For that to change, and just pray that we don't get a pick six or a fumble recovery or a kickoff return for a touchdown to hurt me there. But like I said, I think with this slate in particular, I think it's going to be more advantageous to try to play a little bit more of the medium range guys. Or maybe try to find a lower or cheaper captain so you can fit in more of these guys. Because every time that I've tried to build a Cooper Kupp lineup, just trying to see what it looks like, I absolutely hate my lineup. Because you have to go down here and play one of these really cheap guys, or you're really sacrificing who you're going to play. You're definitely not going to be able to play both quarterbacks. And so for me, I'm looking for a wide receiver that I can play here. I love playing T. Higgins in the captain spot at 11-4. And I also like playing Odell at 12-6. And then if you want to get real weird, I don't mind playing a Tyler Boyd or playing a Van Jefferson in the captain spot there. I think both of those guys could possibly get there as well. You know, again, they don't need to have monster performances for it to work out. If you can build everything else around it, and then, you know, as long as, you know, Cooper Kupp or Jamar Chase doesn't go absolutely nuclear, you know? And so that's kind of the way that I look at it when it comes to Showdown. And so I'm going to have a ton of, you know, some different, you know, that's what's fun. I think fun about Showdown is that we can sit here and put this stuff in a certain way where you're building a bunch of different lineups and kind of covering all your bases.
Yep.
Speaking of motherfucking nuclear.
Walido.
Welcome to Moe's.
Big Daddy Fat Stacks. Did you take Walido, did you take that Canadian GoFundMe? Look at this guy. I've never seen that shade of Super Chat before. Whew.
Love to see it.
That is what they refer to as ballin'.
Yeah, that is that is amazing. Walido, you know, it's been here every stream, doesn't matter the show, he's here rocking with us all year. So appreciate you and Walido has been on the show a few times this year.
Yep.
That was fun. Appreciate it, Walido.
Heck yeah.
We gotta leave this one linger.
Yeah, let that one marinate.
Dr. So, Lingerfinger.
Before we jump over and talk a little bit of props, before we move on from this, what's your favorite, just kind of looking at, what's your favorite captain spot guy that you're kind of looking at?
I'm playing Jamar Chase.
Okay.
I can't not. I'm just doing it.
I like that. I like it. I want to see where his ownership comes in. But I do like Jamar Chase. Obviously he's the most explosive one on their team.
Do you think there's a lot of talk about Jalen Ramsey on Chase, and you think that lowers his ownership?
Maybe, but I still think he's going to be the most expensive Bengal, or most rostered Bengal.
Interesting, because you can't. I mean, let's see. If I put Chase,
it's almost impossible. The only way you can play Cup and Chase together is I think.
Yeah, if you captain Chase and then play Cup, Stafford, Burrow, that leaves you with 1,400 remaining. So it is very tough to captain one of those guys and play, you know, both QBs with Cup and Chase. You just can't do it, really. Like, you're going to have a weaker captain. Or if you're going to captain one of those high-priced guys, you're going to have to not play one of those four, one of the two QBs, Cup or Chase. I don't think you can't really play all four of them together unless you punt captain. And I'm not one that likes to punt captain, especially when we have guys like Chase and Cup on this slate that can break it.
What's your thoughts about somebody like Joe Mixon? Because I don't think anybody's going to play the running backs here.
I mean, anybody that's got touchdown equity like Mixon has, you have to have consideration. Like, you have to like him. Mixon can easily do touchdowns.
Been involved as a pass catcher. I don't know why they keep using Samaje Perine as a pass catcher. I don't get it, but, you know, whatever. I guess he did rip off that 40-yard touchdown against the Chiefs, whatever, but in the first half. But, I mean, I don't
get it. He only played a couple of plays, though. He was only in on a couple of third downs, it felt like.
Right.
He just luck boxed into some production.
But I don't mind Joe Mixon, 14-4.
Yeah, if he's going to go overlooked, I mean – anytime you have a guy who can score two touchdowns, you have to have interest on showdown.
Then I think this could be another spot where you could go if you really wanted to go Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine. It's a cheap pairing. I mean, Samaje Perine is what, 1400, like I said. 1400 or 2400, excuse me. So I think you could do that. And I also, like I've said, I don't mind going Cam Akers and Sony Michel. They're not all, they're 6,400 and 5K, but it's just a different way to stack up the game where a lot of people aren't going to do so. And so I don't mind that. Right now, I think my favorite captain is either Odell or T. Higgins. I like both of them quite a bit. And so getting to them, especially at, you know, it's not 11-4 and 12-6, it makes it kind of easy.
Good.
Great. Not to be outdone. We got the big dick swinging.
We have our own Oilers. The Oilers have struck. Good grief. So there is another color for that.
There's another shade of red.
There's another shade of red.
Whew.
TN.
Good golly, Miss Molly. TN said, I see your Canadian 50, and I raise you.
Just a reminder that in the Discord, Bing I bong. Promised to donate a Target e-gift card to the winner of the NFL Playoff Challenge. $200 Target e-gift card for the winner. We'll email it to winner. Good luck, y'all. TN.
TN the GOAT.
You know, and Walito deserves all the respect.
Walito the GOAT, too. They're both GOATs.
But TN... I say it every time. He was like our third subscriber that we ever had on this channel. So he has been here since the beginning. Back when it was just me and probably Anthony Pinzone and my mom that were subscribed to the channel.
Hi, Mom.
Appreciate you, TN.
Does she still get our notifications and tune in?
I don't know. Maybe.
Probably not.
My dad actually has jumped on a time or two on one of the live shows before.
Yeah, yep.
He screwed me out of a trade. I was trying to trade for AJ Brown back when he was struggling earlier in the year. And he came on and asked, like, would you guys trade for AJ Brown? And I'm like, oh, you motherfucker. Cody was like, no, I would not make that trade. I would not trade AJ Brown. I'm like, I don't even know where to go from there. TN,
Yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I truly do appreciate that.
Yeah, that's...
So...
Well, at a loss for words.
Yeah.
Just Tien just completely derailed the show.
Yeah.
Just so, broke all of us.
Yeah, so I think for me, that's where my mind's at right now. Is I want to try to find a cheaper captain so I can build a little bit more of a balanced lineup versus because there's just not that guy there. It doesn't mean that even if you do play somebody that's, you know, the Scourneck or whatever, and the guy gets one catch for 5 yards and that's all he gets, like that could still be good enough to get in the winning lineup and be the optimal lineup. Depending on how it breaks. But I feel much more, especially the way this is all kind of looking, that because there's not a captain that I feel like that can break it down below, you know, somebody that's just going to go off, like, you know, like a Van Jefferson type or, you know, one of the tight ends. I just don't think that one of those guys are down there. Kind of like if like the Chiefs run it, like Mecole Hardman, you know, somebody that could catch a couple deep touchdowns or something like that, that could kind of break it open. Those guys don't exist on this slate. And so for me, I want a little bit more of a balanced build. And I think you can even do that by and still get in Cooper Kupp or Ja'Marr Chase without playing them and the captain. As long as they don't go nuclear, I think you can be fine with doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the production is going to run through those guys. And so if they don't go nuclear, then you kind of have to figure that it's kind of a lower scoring game. So then I would kind of start to side with playing those guys in the flex and captaining a running back. Is kind of the story, because I mean, we know the ball.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
On offense for the Rams is going to Kupp, it's going to OBJ, and they're going to run the ball. Because
I feel like
he's going to be out, probably. And if he plays, he's going to be limited. I mean, the dude pretty much tore his knee. And Blanton's been okay, but he's priced up. Then on the Bengals side, I mean, Tyler Boyd's been okay, but he's like 5K. I mean, he's got to catch a touchdown. But we know the ball on the Bengals side is going to run through Mixon, Chase, and Higgins, with some Boyd sprinkled in, because Uzoma's not going to play probably. So, I mean, we know where the ball is going on these guys. It's not like you've got a San Francisco offense or a Kansas City offense where there's legit 8, 9, 10 guys that can score a touchdown. I mean, when it's third down and goal for the Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase is getting a target 100%. Like, that's what they did against the Chiefs, right? Like, the Chiefs were technically double covering Ja'Marr Chase, and they just ran a back shoulder fade to Chase that allowed him to be in one-on-one coverage, even though he was double covered on that play. Like, Sorensen was covering the inside slant route and the corner was covering the leveraging the fade route. So they had him blocked off in double coverage and they still threw the ball to him. Like, that is where the ball is going. And same with Cooper Kupp. Like, the ball is going to these guys, especially when they need big plays. So if that's where the ball is going and those guys don't crush, then you have to think it's a lower scoring game. And the running backs become optimal and captain is kind of the thought process that I would have in that breath.
Yeah, correct. And so, yeah, I mean, I like I said, I think there's a lot of different ways, but for me, I just don't feel comfortable playing the guys that are really sub. Really, once you get past Matt Gay, I don't really feel confident. You know, if Daryl Henderson was good, it was, you know. I guess if Daryl Henderson comes back, maybe you could have some interest in him as well, because maybe, you know, depending on what happens to Cam Akers, he nicks it up, you know, or maybe they don't feel comfortable running him out there, whatever. And there is a chance that Daryl Henderson could be back. They said there's a good chance to return for the Super Bowl. So maybe he gets in there and he gets a couple opportunities and he scores. I mean, that's really, in showdown, that's all you need. You don't need, you know, some big performance. If he goes out there and gets you five or six DK points and he's at 1,600, I mean, he's right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that difficult. And so that's kind of what you're looking for. But those guys don't automatically stand out to me as extreme options. So for me, that's kind of where I stand with showdown. Like I'm probably going to be more apt to play at Odell, who could go off, and T. Higgins, who could definitely go off, who are much cheaper. And then, you know, seeing if I could fit in a Cup or a Chase, depending on my stack that I have, you know, as non-captains. So that's kind of the way I look at these two guys. But other than that, I mean, that's kind of the showdown. So this is actually a perfect segue to go to the other side, because we brought on the prop guys to talk about props, and then the other duo of the props. Uh-oh, it's cut off. We only see the bottom half. Tom.
Is this better? Is this better?
Yeah. It actually is.
So we got Tom. Hello. And Cody. So we can
Tom,
revisit.
What's up, man?
What's up?
The props.
Props? We talking props?
Yeah, let's talk some props. You know?
Right on cue.
There's lots of them to talk.
Are there? I hadn't looked.
There's a billion.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, before Tom goes out of town to wherever he's going.
Ocean City. Just going to the beach for the weekend. You know, it's going to snow on Sunday. It'll be nice.
You got a nice little spread. Oh, what did you say? Are you going to have a nice little spread for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I got a bunch of, like, the jumbo golf shrimp cocktails and stuff like that. And we're going to do, I think we're going to do some fancy tacos and stuff now that we kind of hammered that down there. So, yeah, we're going to have a nice old time.
So, Alito, ask a question to Kevin Maddie, but not to Maddie. What are you guys doing for the Super Bowl? What are you eating and where are you going? So, first, do you have any plans for the Super Bowl, Maddie? He's watching at home.
Yeah, I'm just chilling. I never really do anything big for the Super Bowl. We've got like a sports bar around here that the wife's dad, one of his good, really good buddies, like co-owns/manages the place. And he hooks us up with their wings. So we'll put in they did 1,500 or 2,000 wings on their wing orders last year. So they do a pretty good size amount of wings there. So we'll get wings there from there most likely, but other than that, it's just chilling, hanging out.
It's up to what, $4 a wing now these days?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane.
Sorry about that.
Here's another segue. With that sound, is TN flushing the money down the toilet when the first play being a safety? I haven't found the odds. The only odds that I can see for safety is just yes or no, and those are at +750 and +800 on FanDuel, BetMGM, and Caesars. I was looking for this whenever TN first brought this up a little bit earlier. I don't know if I
was it
on the first play.
Was it Broncos Panthers?
Was that the first one?
That was first score, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was the first score.
It was 8-0.
Broncos Seattle.
Seattle, yeah.
Right?
I know the Broncos were involved. I can't remember if it was Cam Newton or...
Yeah, if it was Denver doing the whooping or Seattle.
But there was definitely a safety, like, super early. And it was, like,
wild. It was definitely the first play.
Yeah.
First play specials.
Well, either team to score a touchdown. Thought they were the king of the ocean because of their size. Yeah, they did. Before being scooped out. Does anybody have, I guess, because, you know, they've asked us every time. I think even Walido asked it the last time, but I don't think we really answered it. Is there a go-to, like, meal or, like, specific food that you have to have at the Super Bowl or that you look forward to? Wings or whatever?
I used to be a wing guy, but...
Indigestion, you know, heartburn catches up to me, you know, can't do that anymore.
No, I'm evolving a little.
With your hands.
I'm evolving. I figured I was going to the beach, so I got a bunch of shrimp, and I said, you know what? We don't necessarily have to do wings this year. And then I'm going to get down there, and guess what we're going to do? We're going to order fucking wings anyway from somewhere.
I love wings. You know, a good dip, you know?
Yeah, my wife makes buffalo chicken dip. Yeah.
Buffalo chicken dip's excellent. Rotel, whatever, is great. You know, those bacon wraps.
Taco dip.
Yeah. Bacon wrap, little smokies, you know, as you put that brown sugar glaze, all that stuff on. Oh my God, those are amazing.
Yep.
You know,
a nice little spinach dip if you don't want to go carnivore.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it in with a nice sourdough bowl, you know, and you tear chunks and dip it, you know. So, no, I even when the Chiefs played the Super Bowl the last couple of years, like, I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed at home. The one thing I hate more than anything is listening to people talk about football that have no clue about football. So they sit there and complain about it or talk about it, and I just want to like punch them in the throat and be like, shut up. Like, you know,
Kev, like, what's the most you would pay for a Chiefs Super Bowl ticket?
None.
Would you ever go? What's the most you would pay?
Like, at what point would it be like, all right, I'll go.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were, I don't know, like $2,000 or $3,000, I probably would consider it. I mean, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, right? To go to a Super Bowl. But they've made it so much where your average fan cannot go anymore. It is for, you know, people that are rich or businesses that buy up all the tickets and everything else. Like, it's not for your average fan anymore.
Or the old guy on TikTok.
Yeah. So,
did you see that?
No.
There's just old Bengals.
Oh, fan. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, sitting in his recliner, just like crying whenever they were going to the Super Bowl, and I think Hoosh hooked him up.
That's sick.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start crying whenever the Eagles do something good.
You guys, well, that's only because a few years ago.
That's no. Right now, it's because whenever they do something good, I know Howie Roseman's not getting fired, so that's why I cry.
Yeah,
Tom just cries all the time with the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm a big crier.
So let's get to some of these props.
Yeah.
So of course, let's talk about the most important, the color of the Gatorade. I know we talked about it in the last time. Let's talk about it again. What are we going with the color of the Gatorade? The clear water, I think, has moved up. I don't think it was the favorite the last time I looked at this, but now it is +250 for water.
You know, I'm throwing in with purple, man.
Purple is still, yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry. I'm throwing in with blue.
I like blue.
I'm feeling yellow green.
Yellow green.
+250. You know, you gotta, you know. I'm gonna go with the underdog here, and the underdog, I'm gonna go red and pink. I'm gonna go with one that's off that people aren't expecting. I feel like, you know, maybe if you think the Bengals are gonna win, orange would make sense. You know, at +300, you know, makes sense. Maybe they have, you know, orange Gatorade, but I'm gonna go red pink here because we looked it up the last time. There has never been
red.
So what are you going with there, Maddie?
I like orange. It's the year of the tiger. 2022, the year of the tiger. I don't know what have we seen. Like, did the Bengals dump Gatorade last week when they beat the Chiefs? Did we get any inside info on what they had? You would think it'd be orange if like for the Bengals, and I would think the Rams would have like blue or yellow. But then again, the Patriots, they had clear, I think. Last time they won, which doesn't even make sense.
Of course they did, because they're the Patriots. Yeah, well, no,
the Patriots.
No, the last time they won, they had blue. The last time the Patriots won, they had blue. The 2017, they had none. So it's been blue for...
That is the most Patriots thing ever. Ah.
Yes. But...
we got to get to work tomorrow. No Gatorade bats.
The Bucks had blue. The Chiefs had orange. The Patriots had blue. The Eagles had yellow. Of course, piss on them. None for the Patriots. Broncos were orange, of course. Patriots, blue again. Orange for Seattle. None for Baltimore Ravens. Purple. You have to go back to 2012 to get a purple. from the Giants. And then we just had like a long string of clear of, I guess, water. Because Giants, Colts, Steelers, Patriots from 2005 to 2008 was all clear.
What kind of not fun was working, that? Gatorade was working through a tough time there with some of their Gatorade Frost flavors.
Probably shortage or something like that, you know?
Yeah, someone needs, someone needs to check the inflation numbers on Gatorade. Maybe it is a clear year again.
They have trouble getting it. All right. So let's talk about some more, you know, some actual, you know, some good props, I guess.
I guess.
I suppose we'll talk about football props.
I mean, I'll just hit some of the ones that we talked about last week really quickly. If you want to go watch that video, you can. I won't dive in because there are some ones that are, you know, Kev, I think, was a little disappointed that we weren't talking about the ones that are plus 15,000. So I picked a couple more of those. But Cooper Kupp, his yardage actually came down on FanDuel and went up on DK, and that's sitting at 105.5. I still like that. Over 8.5 receptions, you can get that at plus money. I like that one. He's going to see a lot of Mike Hilton, giving up a 72% completion percentage. Kupp has 9 or more receptions 11 times this year. He's had at least 107 yards 13 times this year, obviously including the playoffs. Mixon's receiving yards, I like. That one has also come down on FanDuel. That's at 24.5 on FanDuel. It's at 26.5 on DK. And then one thing I did change from last week, I like the Cam Akers under on his rushing total, which I still like, but I went over to his rushing attempts on the under at 16.5. I'm not sure that he gets there, and that line is slightly juicier. It's not a big deal, but it's from like minus 110 to minus 102 on FanDuel. So those are the ones that are like your standard player props that I'm going to be on.
Yeah, last week I had Mixon and Kupp anytime touchdown parlay. That was at plus 210. Cooper Kupp was sitting at minus 165 for an anytime touchdown. That popped all the way up to minus 180. DraftKings had like a special where they put it down to like even money. So I hope you got in on that. So they're doing like these flash specials, which is, I think, what this Burrow and Stafford to each throw a touchdown in the first and second half is. So they're doing like boosts on them where it might be like 250 and they're putting it up to 350, but they're only doing it for a couple hours. So kind of be on the lookout for that there. But Cooper Kupp
is scored. I do like this one.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp has scored in every playoff game, 5 straight overall, 8 out of his last 9. He's stupid. Just bet Cooper Kupp to score a touchdown. Do it anytime or an in-game or same game parlay. Good job, where it's not even drinking tonight. Maybe I should. I'd be able to talk better. Same game parlay with Cooper Kupp and whatever else you want. Odell's receiving yards, I really like. That was at 65.5. Same game parlay with Odell and T. Higgins. Odell at 49.5 receiving yards. T. Higgins at 54.5. That's even money. Stafford and Burrow both to throw 2 touchdowns at plus 125. So this one that is up right now, I like them both to score 2 touchdowns. I was just not positive if it was going to be, you know, in the half. That kind of breaks it down, but that's why the odds go up there. What else I have? Oh, Chase, Kupp, Odell, and Higgins all to have over 49.5 receiving yards. That was a plus 160. We all like that. Total touchdown yardage I liked over 95.5. That was a minus 110. Total touchdown passes over 3.5. That was at minus 175. That's still free money, though, in my opinion. And then I was looking at some of these cross sport specials. We all can agree that Cooper Kupp is going to eat, correct? Do we think he will score more points than the Atlanta Hawks? What will be more, Cooper Kupp's receiving yards or the Atlanta Hawks point total?
Ooh. Who are they playing?
I don't know. It doesn't even matter to me. The Atlanta Hawks are minus 105. Cooper Kupp's at minus 115. I will tell you.
Wait, that's a real bet.
That is interesting.
That's a real bet.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm not making shit up. That's a real bet, man. there's a cross sports special thing. If you scroll all the way over on DraftKings.
That is fantastic.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, and they have it for hockey, MMA. Atlanta is playing at Boston at 2 o'clock. So you will already know how many receiving yards Cooper Kupp needs to get, which is pretty cool. So they're just setting the over-under for you.
What's the one for hockey? Cooper Kupp touchdowns versus the Atlanta Thrashers goals scored?
No. They're dead now. Total goals in the NHL on Sunday, February 13th, or first half total points in the Super Bowl.
So real quick, the Hawks are averaging the seventh most points in the NBA right now, 111.9.
Okay, and his over's at 105.5 or 106.5? Cooper's.
105.
So he's at 105.
Then we got Josh chiming in here. Celtics number one defense in the last 2 weeks. This is what we're here for.
Hold on. That's because they haven't played anybody. The Celtics are terrible.
Yeah, hold on a second. So Cooper Kupp's at minus 115 to get over 106.5. So you would probably just take that. If they're gonna if they have a chance to blow up, I don't know.
I've watched zero NBA, so I'm going to be honest.
You're a Celtics fan. That's the reason I said that, was to get a rise out of you. Yeah, you don't even watch Celtics games?
No, they're trash. I'm good.
I like the Celtics number one defense last 2 weeks. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
So I think I would probably
have that one at the ready.
Yeah, I might just take the Cooper Kupp over on the regular yards there.
That is a cool bet, though. I like that bet.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a Super Bowl prop bet if it wasn't off the rails.
You gotta have some off the rails ones.
You have to. That's the whole fun.
Those are the funnest ones. I'm surprised that. So I don't think they've released the National Anthem one, have they yet?
I haven't seen it anywhere.
I think that's because in like the last couple of years they've been getting burned. Because release it early, and the people that are there practicing will send out texts to their buddies. Because yeah. I know we had somebody I know had an insider like 2 years ago, and they knew the official practice time of it, and it was like a good 4 seconds longer than what the books lines were setting. So everybody just ran and hammered the over, and the books removed it and then re-lined it like 3 seconds higher.
That's funny.
So it was easy. And it was, so we were all starting to sweat because it was funny. We were starting to sweat. And then I think it was, I want to say it was Gladys Knight or somebody.
Over. Yeah, I don't even know what it was. Over.
Yeah, she held the last note for like 20 seconds. And we were, because we were all sweating. And then she held the last note for like years. It was like, oh, that was easy. So
that's good.
Yeah, I think they hold off on that one for a little bit if they can help it.
I have another cross sport special. What will be more? Van Jefferson receiving yards or Trae Young points?
I'd go Trae Young.
Van Jefferson's at minus 125. Trae Young's at even money. So Van is favored to win that one.
What's he at, like 32.5 for yards?
Standby.
Something like that.
29.5 on DK.
Because right now, if you look at the last, I mean, since week 18, 31, 41, 29, and 9. And then last week was the most targets he's seen at 5. Before that, it was 3, 1, and 3. So, man.
That's... I don't like Van Jefferson in that one. I don't know.
I think I like Van Jefferson too.
All it takes is one with Van Jeff, right?
Yeah.
All right. How do we think Chase is going to do? We think he's going to get over 90 yards?
I think so.
All right. Will Ja'Marr Chase receiving yards be more than Trae Young, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown combined points?
It's awesome. Ooh.
Yes. I would say yes.
Man. Super Bowl props are the best. While we're on the topic of Cup and Chase. So, Cup to score the first touchdown and Chase to score the second touchdown at plus 3,500. Like, I kind of like that one for being, like, long odds.
I feel like that's not long enough odds, though, for picking an exacta.
Right, right.
You know, it's going to... People, you know, it's going to... Like, Cooper Kupp's going to score the first touchdown, and then...
It'll be like T. Higgins or Joe Mixon or somebody.
Or they'll target Jamar Chase, and you know something will happen, and you know whatever.
Defensive pass interference.
PI.
Yeah, yeah. 1 yard touchdown run. People are gonna lose their mind. Or you know, even better crazy? Would be like an offensive pass interference.
Well, this is a neat one.
The odds are actually lower for Cup to have the first and second touchdown than it is for Cup and Chase.
Jeez.
So check this. So check this out, and that's insane. So going off the touchdown things, touchdown scorer parlays on DraftKings. Any two players to score a touchdown in Super Bowl 56. It gives you a grouping of three players though. So Cooper Kupp, Cam Akers, Joe Mixon. Two of those guys have to score at minus 130. Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase, and Odell. I love that one. Minus 110. Chase, Odell, Higgins, plus one. That's pretty neat.
You know what I like? What? There's a jersey number of first touchdown score under 23 yes. and a half.
Yeah.
Only minus 140. You get both Chase and Kupp for minus 140. And Akers if he's playing. I guess you would lose for Michelle, Mixon, T. Higgins.
It's basically any of the Rams tight ends.
And Boyd, right?
You get Odell in the under.
Boyd's 83.
Yeah. You would get OBJ, Kupp, and Chase. So you'd get the three main touchdown scores for minus 140. I like that one.
Odell and T. Higgins to both have 30-plus yard catches at plus 550.
To both have what?
30.
To have a catch of 30 or more yards.
Interesting.
I like that one. Plus 550. I think their longest catches are both in like the mid 20s. So like, you know what I mean? It's not that far off. I saw that one and I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
This one, Kev, at plus 1,000. Odell to have 125 yards and a score, or obviously more. So Odell, 125 receiving yards. And at least one score at plus 1,000.
Oh fuck yeah! I love that. That is one.
Really I nice. Love that one.
Oh, you know what I love? First timeout. Rams minus 125. Sean McVay will burn three timeouts before 10 minutes left in the first quarter.
Maddie, and he will just stare that? Like this.
Also, the first challenge as well. I like the Rams for the first. Yeah. He has the worst challenge.
He is the worst in-game manager, I think, in the entire NFL. Like, dude throws away.
Was it last game where he had this blatant that the challenge was wrong? And they have this huge video board. I mean, massive. You can't just look up and see that real quick. And he still challenges
So the one thing, like, Doug Peterson did really well in Philly was challenges and going for it on fourth down when he should have based on analytics, because they have an analytics department basically in his ear on all those situations. And they have someone up in the booth who actually knows what they're doing. I don't understand how every team doesn't have something like that. Like, hey, you're on the 40, it's fourth and four. You should not punt here.
Yeah.
Down by two scores.
Yeah. You should not punt. You should not kick a field goal. You should go for this. Perhaps.
Ugh. Most touchdowns. So between these pairs, Akers and Van Jefferson or Mixon and Boyd. Most touchdowns.
Mixon and Boyd, I'll go.
Plus 200 versus plus 195 for Akers and Van Jeff. I like the Mixon and Boyd side as well.
Yeah, me too.
And a tie is a plus 135. What about Akers versus Chase? for most touchdowns.
Yeah,
plus 260.
I just don't know how healthy Akers is at the moment. The reports on him are kind of sketchy.
He got that injury in game, and then he came back in the game and played. And he's had 2 weeks to prepare. I would think that he's probably good to go. I would think.
Yeah, it just concerns me that Daryl Henderson's going to come back off IR, it sounds like. I don't know.
Yeah, how are they going to work this? But they haven't,
like, all year, they've had one guy be the guy, even when multiple guys are available. So I'm curious to see how they'll kind of manage that situation.
I like this one. Most passing touchdowns, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow, or Ty?
Yeah, I saw that one too, but I didn't think that would be exciting enough for Kev for Stafford at plus 105.
Sorry. I mean, it's basically getting your money back, even money. Come on.
There's
still
one.
Think some of these first scores are, I still think, are really interesting. Because, I mean, there's, you have some like T. Higgins is plus 1,200. Odell is plus 900. Hell, Jamar Chase is plus 800.
Yeah. There's also one. Will there be a score on the last play of the game that's plus 1,200? I mean, you get a game-ending field goal or a touchdown in OT. That one's interesting.
I saw one, too, that was like, will there be a walk-off field goal? I can't remember what the odds were at, but I did see that one. Then Schmoney has any three to score with Odell, Higgins, Boyd, and Blanton at plus 900.
That one's interesting.
I like that one, actually.
Yeah.
If Higby's out, I think Blanton probably does score. Bengals are so bad against tight ends.
Yes.
So bad.
I'm really curious to see what Blanton's receiving prop is going to be. Really curious. Like I feel like if they put it like anywhere in like the low to mid 30s, I'm going to smash it.
I got one for you, Code. Rams to win, Stafford to throw for 290, and Odell to score. Plus 500.
I like that one.
Anybody putting in any 2022 draft props yet, by the way? Who's going to be the number one pick?
I feel like it's one of the two defensive linemen.
I kind of like the value at Evan Neal there. Well, Thibodeau's at plus 300. Evan Neal's at plus 200 now. He moved up. And Aiden Hutchinson's at plus 160. He's been the favorite for weeks.
Evan Neal makes sense because of it's the Jaguars, right?
Right.
So they obviously don't need a quarterback. I mean, they could definitely use the defensive help, but, you know, I think protecting, you know, T-Law there is probably pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this one from Josh. Cup to make the first catch at plus 550.
Yeah, as long as they get the ball, that's
right. Right.
Perfect. I like that a lot.
On the other side, so Odell, Kupp, and Chase are all at 550. T. Higgins at 600. Mixon at 800. And then from there, like CJ Uzuma's next at 1,000. Tyler Boyd, 1,200. Kendall Blanton at 1,600.
Why does DK have a prop that has the winning margin set at 8.5?
I talked about that last game too.
It's only minus 110 on both sides, but the spread's 4.5. So you're getting 4 full points at the same juice. I don't understand that one, but
yeah,
that one seems obvious.
So that won't hit. Fuck you, Vegas.
So yeah, so somebody's gonna win by 15.
Nope, just 9.
Probably.
I just got to the cross sport specials. Which side is going to be higher, Trey Young threes or Bengals total touchdowns?
Trey Young threes.
I'll go Trey Young there because he could just pop off.
Minus 115 for Trey Young and minus 105 for the Bengals. These are interesting. I didn't see these.
Tom, you mentioned the super boost for the Rams. I like the Bengals one. To win, Joe Burrow to throw for 260, and Jamar Chase to score a touchdown. That's plus 600. I mean, that's pretty much if the Bengals win, you're getting plus 600. on the money line.
Well, hold on.
There's you would think Ja'Marr Chase is going to score.
There is an odds boost on there, and it gets boosted up to plus 750.
I like that myself. It's like if the Bengals win, I mean, Burrow's going to throw for 260, and Chase probably scores a touchdown.
Yeah. Ooh, get your first touchdown score bet back if your player doesn't score first but still gets in the end zone. Okay. I guess I'll put another one in. I only have 8 players.
Heads or tails? Tails. It's negative EV to tails. Bet, but heads or tails?
Tails.
Tails. Tails never fails. You guys like over-under on the field goals? I mean, these.
What's McPherson at? 2.5?
I think they both are.
It's under DST props. Hold on.
Oh, field goal props. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. First missed field goal.
Like McPherson there.
Bengals total field goals 1.5. Rams minus total field goals 1.5. With juiced that. Minus 175 for the Rams.
Give me them both to get 2 field goals this game. Ooh, the kicking points. I always like the kicking points one. They're both at 7.5, minus 140 and minus 135.
First missed field goal. You guys
wide right. Wide right.
Plus 150. Wide right and wide left are both at 150. Post crossbar is 350. Short is plus 800 and blocked is plus 1600. Ooh, the distance of the first successful field goal over under 37.5.
I like the under. Will any punt result in a touchback?
Yes.
Yeah.
Plus 240.
Really?
Really?
Really? What's no?
Minus 340.
Holy shit.
I would think it would be the other way around.
Yeah, maybe they have good kicker or good punter.
I was going to say, it's probably
Johnny Hecker, right? Is that it?
Yeah, it's probably some absurd stat where 5% of the punts have been touchbacks for either punter.
I kind of like Rams over 3.5 sacks, too.
Oh, yeah. Where's that at? I missed that.
That's under...
It's under DST.
DST, yeah, the sack props. That's plus 105. They just gave up 9 sacks to Tennessee, two games ago?
Mm-hmm. Total game sacks. Over 5.5 at plus 110.
Stafford got beat to shit last game, too.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that. The Rams might get there by themselves.
Vegas does not think Cincy's going to get there. Over 1.5 is minus 150. Well, no, they do. My fault. Under is plus 120. I like the Rams there. I like the total, I think.
Akko, we have not seen any halftime props.
But I am looking forward to the halftime show this
Me
year.
Too.
Our children are not. People's children are like, who's this guy? You're like, you just sit there and shut.
Children and grandparents.
Yeah.
Everybody
we
else.
Vibing.
Oh, you know the old boomers are not.
Oh, yeah, they already don't. They've already drafted up their tweets and wrote their articles. They're just waiting for the show to end so they can hit publish.
I've already seen it, like especially like Facebook, you know, and like you see people complain about it. The people are gonna have. I'm like, shut up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like we had fucking Coldplay. Leave us alone. Give us Eminem. All right, Coldplay. You guys want to get hyped? Here you go. We were all yellow.
They want it to be like Bruce Springsteen or something for them to be happier, you know.
Right.
Something like that.
Mick Jagger coming out in his prosthetic legs because he can't hold himself up at this point in a colostomy bag.
Yeah,
you can see the colostomy bag through his leather pants.
I actually didn't mind the weekend. I thought the weekend was pretty good last year when they had them on. I didn't mind them.
I thought Bruno Mars was the best of recent.
Yeah, it was good
memory.
Or when Justin Timberlake, you know, what was it, pulled out? Was that Janet Jackson that he did that to?
It was. That was like 20 years ago.
The wardrobe malfunction.
Well, I remember.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
What Super Bowl was that?
Dude, I think that was in like
Steelers.
2004, 2005 range.
It was Steelers and somebody, I think.
2004. Yeah, it was.
Holy good pull, Thomas.
Tom, what site was the touchback punt on? Was that DK?
Oh, that was Patriots Panthers. That's what that was.
It's DraftKings under DST props. And then you just scroll down. Way, way down.
And TM, we were across the board here on the Gatorade. We touched on this one a little bit earlier. I'm team yellow green. Kevin, you're going red.
I'm going red. You know, I want to be the outlier. The first time it's ever happened. Let's go red. First time for everything, baby. All the money.
Also, it's the only way there's going to be any Kansas City colors in the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah, maybe that's their hype that, you know, they just sent Kansas City home, so they're paying homage to them.
Listen.
Literally pouring one out.
Literally pouring one out.
Last time the Cowboys went to the Super Bowl, like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to hear it. Okay. Get past the first round of the playoffs first. Okay.
Hey, we're all in the same spot now, buddy.
You know, we can't go. We can't go to Super Bowl every year. Okay. You know, I'm sorry. Been the last 2 years in a row. I'm sorry. You know, we'll be back there next year. So we load up and we get Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, and you know everything comes back together.
That's the missing ticket. Yeah.
Hey, Juju, I'd love to get Juju. Could you imagine the Juju and Jackson Mahomes TikTok? Just the internet is going to explode and just be mad at the world. I'm here for it. No?
No.
No.
Can keep it.
Well, this is like a good part of this. So, in turn with being a high-scoring game, who's everybody picking? What's the score? Give me the score of the game. And who are you taking?
The score? Where's the exact result ones on these? I haven't been able to find those.
Oh yeah.
Over under is 48.5. That came down, didn't it?
Yeah, it opened at 49.5. Yeah, so dropped a point.
I still like the over.
I like the over.
Man. The one thing, so I said, the one thing I don't want to do in this game is pick the winner. Because I just want to enjoy the game and not like, because I don't know who I want to win, to tell you the truth. It's one of those weird Super Bowls where I don't have disdain or I don't really like either team more necessarily. They both have good stories. So I think I'm rooting for Cincy, but I don't know.
I'm in the same boat. I'd be all good with me if Stafford got a ring.
Right. I'm not going to be mad at whoever wins, put it that way.
But I'm also – I like Joe Burrow a lot, so it'd be cool to, you know, see him kick off his career coming back after a big ACL injury and getting his first one.
Well, I saw something. Somebody was saying that, okay, yeah, everybody's talking about Burrow and how long their championship window is going to be. And at the beginning of the season, the Rams were the youngest team in the league with an average age of 26.5. I don't think their championship window is going anywhere. They're perceived to be really old, but apparently not. They're just really top-heavy with those studs, and they've built behind them.
Yeah. It's probably more of a contract situation than a draft, than like an age thing for them.
So you're not going to give any prediction. You guys just going to hedge. And just
Fine. I'll go I'll go 31-27 Bengals.
That's literally what I was going to say. Not even joking.
There we go. Cody? Let's find it.
31-21 Rams.
Ooh.
I'm going 128-3 Rams.
Crossover sports.
Atlanta Hawks.
Rams versus the Hawks.
No, I'm gonna go with 38-36. A little different. Ooh. A little score guy.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
I mean, Super Bowls tend to be high scoring.
And yeah, here comes
he's from the winning team.
Here comes the Rams 21-17.
Yeah. Or 10-3. What the Patriots Rams a few years ago.
9-6.
Yeah.
I did find the first score to be a safety on DK. +5,000 for both teams. I was trying to find the exact score, and I came across that one. If you go to team props and then first score method, both are at +5,000.
I guess I'm just going to have to scoot you in over here to BetMGM and see what they got.
Why can't I
think your team defense has a chance to score a touchdown? Yeah, I mean, it could happen, especially, you know, fumble, you know, scoop score. It's definitely possible. One of them makes a bad throw. I mean, especially Stafford or Burrow, for that matter. They're very likely, you know, throw a pick six. So, I mean, it's definitely in the range of possibility.
I don't know why I can't find
Rams win. +105. Will be Stafford pass attempts or Jason Tatum's points plus rebounds. You got to go. Well, no. I'd probably go Stafford there. What do you think, Matt? You're the Celtics guy.
Stafford Tatum's or Tatum's points and rebounds.
So Tatum is at 25.5 points per game.
Probably like 7 or 8 rebounds a game.
8.4. So 33.9.
I say Stafford attempts.
I think Stafford is at like 30. I think he's at 34 or like 36.5, I think it is. So right there.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because, I mean, they're playing the Hawks too, so Tatum could score like 30, and then he's pretty much beat it without rebounds. I don't know. That's a really close one.
Yeah. A lot of those are good.
Those are good.
All right, well, have we got any more? Or
I think I've hit on all the ones that I've seen that have stuck out to me.
Let me see what I put in when I was drinking last week. I put a $5 bet on Matt Stafford to get the first touchdown at +6,600 odds.
There has been a ton of coaching changes this offseason. I think the worst one has to be, though, the Lovie Smith hire. Like, let's just... It's just another person they could put in his place just to wait until they fire him, you know, in a year or two from now.
Seems like they're literally waiting for Josh McCown to be ready or some shit. Because there's been smoke around Josh McCown and the Texans the last 2 years, and they want someone else to interview him to kind of validate it. So, no, we're just going to go with Lovie Smith.
Well, I feel like they know they're in no position to win it whatsoever right now, and there's no real reason to bring in a different coach. They bring in somebody that was already there. It's an easy scapegoat to be able to fire him to move on to the next guy that they want to bring in. And mm-hmm. So you let him sit here for a year, maybe two, I don't know. And then once you get your quarterback, because I don't know if this will be the year that I would draft a quarterback. I mean, I probably wouldn't. I'd wait for if I was them in the position that they're in. I would just continue to add talent and maybe wait on the quarterback like we've seen some other teams do. And then, you know, maybe next year when the class is much better, you know, tank this year and then move. And then, you know, whether you can get, you know, CJ Stroud or whoever that comes out next year in that class, you know, maybe go that route. And then you fire Lovie Smith and you bring in the coach that you really wanted.
Same thing with Allen and the Saints.
Yeah. Yeah. Teams that aren't really going well, they're going to have to explode everything. I mean, Waleedo, buddy, that's tough with what's going on with the Saints. I mean, the Saints are in a world of shit right now. You know, then you have the Alvin Kamara stuff that's come out, which it doesn't sound like it's as serious what people try to make it out to sound, but regardless, they're going to have to blow that team up. I mean, that team's got to just let it all go. Just trade everybody, get rid of everybody, and move and start completely over because – Last year they were over like the cap. What was it? Something crazy like $80 million, and they're right back here again. They have to do it again for this year. You know, trade Kamara, trade Michael Thomas, trade Marshawn Lattimore. Just trade them all.
Blow it up. I did throw together, and what we can get out of here on this one. I did. FanDuel was doing a risk-free same-game parlay with like a max of $5, so it's not a huge deal. But I did a seven-leg parlay for plus 2,300 odds. Kupp, anytime touchdown score. Odell, anytime touchdown. Stafford, over 250 passing yards. Kupp, over 80. Odell, over 60. Mixon, over 24.5. And the Rams to win by, to beat the spread at 4.5. That comes out at 23, plus 2,300.
Yeah.
I still think the guy that won 500K, was it last week or the week before? That's the best one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Off $20.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Living the good life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, does anyone take a Monday off? I am. I always take the day after the Super Bowl off. Always.
I am. And I'm taking Tuesday and Wednesday off, I think. So I'll have.
I'm not really employed, so.
And it is Valentine's Day too, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna take Friday off.
Oh damn! It Saturday, is Valentine's Day.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Work on Thursday, then a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. I think that's what's gonna happen.
I just have Monday off. That dude is wild. That dude is always putting in crazy. He usually bets on. It's usually the Astros that he usually bets on. He's obviously from Texas, from Houston, but it's usually the Astros that he always puts a ton of money on. But yeah, that's the. I think they said that was the largest mobile wager in ever.
Yeah, mobile.
But he normally, and he does all kinds of crazy shit where he's giving away like millions of dollars versus for like furniture to people and stuff like that. If the Astros won and stuff like that, I mean, it's kind of bullshit though, because the Astros cheated all those years. So, banging on trash cans, whatever, but
you're not wrong.
But anyway, do you guys have anything else? Or we're going to get out of here.
Let's wrap her up.
All right. Well, I appreciate you two coming on, Tom and Cody, getting in some props here, switching it up a little bit. I am really, I think this Super Bowl can be good. It's better than what it would have been better if the Chiefs were in it, Much more exciting, much more storyline to talk about, much better quarterback play, all that stuff. But hey, Chiefs can't be in it every year. But I, once again, I appreciate everybody coming on. I appreciate, the super chats tonight. TN, yeah. Walito, you guys came in and crushed it with that.
Yeah, that's
appreciate
big time.
You guys. What's as always, this is the last show for the DFS DJ Nation for the 2021 season. It has been a good year. Maddie, as always, I appreciate you being here every single week with me to break down these slates.
Of course,
we're not going anywhere because
we'll be back in what, August?
Yeah, and we'll
for
have
DFS.
We'll do some more some best ball stuff,
Yeah, we can do that.
Put out some more best ball content, and over on the Fantasy Authority podcast channel or the podcast feed, you can also check out over there. We're gonna have a ton of rookie content coming. We just put out a video on that, a podcast on kind of an overview look at the rookie class this year. But we're gonna have a much more in depth player profiles for pretty much for a ton of players. We're going to have all the, our rankings, all that stuff. We're going to do some mock drafts. We'll still be going live here as well. We're going to try to go live and do some mocks and stuff like that. And then before you know it, draft will be here. We're done with the draft, and then we'll be on to the redraft season, and we'll be back into football season before you know it, back into talking about this. Or you can jump over to the Discord, and you can find us over there where we'll be talking about some NASCAR, right? Some NASCAR. I already have people, Andrew Yu. He already reached out. He reached out to me. We've been talking some NASCAR DFS. Daytona 500 is next weekend, so I am looking forward to that. One of my favorite races to play all year. So if you're looking a little more picks, play some NASCAR DFS. It is the GOAT. I absolutely love it. And so You know, jump into the Discord. It's absolutely free. You can find any of the Discord, the links and on our YouTube channel. You can find it in the podcast feed. Jump in there. Talk. We can talk about whatever. NFL, you know, draft, whatever. DFS, life. I don't care. You know, we can talk about the meaning of life. I don't care. I got nothing else to do. Anyways, I appreciate everybody checking it out. I hope everybody has a wonderful Super Bowl Sunday weekend. Stay safe out there. Don't be drinking and driving. Call an Uber, whatever. It's too cheap. Because we want to see you guys here, you know, next week when we go live again. I appreciate you all. We'll be back again. Fuck the Bengals for beating the Chiefs. We out.
Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war back. I see what you got. Adventures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah. That's a break, little man. Break it down. Think you're a big man. You like your little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah. That's a break, little man. Break it down. You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. Be like a book on a shelf that you can be, boy. Yeah, that you can be, little man.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.